So my name is Jeannie Falk-Jones. I'm one of the agronomists with Kansas State University. I'm a multi-county agronomist, which means that I cover three counties, but then spend a lot of time working in a more of an expanded area. So stripe rust is a wheat disease that causes trouble not every year in northwest Kansas, but many years, not just in northwest Kansas, but clear across the state, pulling up from Texas every year. So in 2016, it was estimated a 9.1% yield loss in wheat from across Kansas from this disease. This is a picture here of a very susceptible variety bird, which is from Colorado State University. Here you can see the kind of beginning stages of stripe rust showing up on the leaf. In 2015, we had 15.4% yield loss was the estimate across the state. So a very economical, important disease for producers. And you can see this is a field of Denali. And you can see the stripe rust pustules kind of showing up here on the leaf. If you look in the background, you can see stripe rust on nearly every leaf that's in this field. This is a farmer who did not spray quite quick enough. And he called me when we got to this stage of development. And that's a little bit late for us to do anything about it. Okay, so communication is the main thing that when I visit with extension agents about what we need to do is communication. How do we, as extension, our job is to take complicated research and get it into a digestible set of information to get to our farmers, and something that can easily be applied. And at times, I think we sometimes struggle with this because we think, well, every farmer probably understands this. But when in reality, when we start digging into it, I'm always a little surprised on what producers know and then what they still question on some of their discussion. So I spend a lot of time getting information out into producers' hands. And so if you notice here, this starts clear back. If I can get my thing just to show up here. Clear back in February, we start talking about forecast models. And so one of the PhD students who just finished at Kansas State University was doing quite a bit of work on modeling on when stripe rust or if we would see stripe rust in our area. That is very important to get into producers' hands. At least it's on their radar of what we're talking about. Then, as you can see, as we go through the year, the reports that I send out get more and more frequent and get a little bit more in-depth information and really talk to them about what I'm seeing in the field. One of the things that I do a lot during the spring is look at wheat, and I'm not just going out to see what we can or what's, you know, just generally what's going on. I'm specifically looking for stripe rust because I know when it's going to be heading towards our area, and so I spend a lot of time in the field. And so producers, they're planting corn at this time of the year. They're not out looking at their wheat, and so it's really important that I have some eyes on the ground to see what's going on. Also very interesting on what producers do and do not understand. I thought all farmers kind of knew when the flag leaf comes out of their plant. But very interesting this year, I started getting a lot of questions. So I started taking pictures on what stage of growth is the wheat at so that they know what they're looking for when they're looking for that stripe rust. K-State recommendations involved spraying when we see stripe rust below the flag leaf, but the flag leaf needs to be emerged. And so that's one very key characteristic that we have to get into producers, for producers to understand, because fungicides have very limited mobility in the plant. They don't move from leaf to leaf, but they will move around within a leaf. So the flag leaf needs to be out before they do any type of thinking about an application. Okay, so I did some surveying of my growers on how they get information from me, because it's really important how they're getting information from me so I know how to address and get information to them. So here's a long list, a laundry list of how they get information. Predominantly email was the way that they're saying that we're getting most information from you, which is interesting because whatever I put in emails, I'm also putting out on the radio, in the newspaper articles, and other things that are going on. And so I'm pushing it out in a variety of ways, when in reality they're reading their email. I was in a session earlier this week and they were talking about how email with college students is not very effective because they're not reading their email. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we finally figured out a way to get to our farmers, and now they're going to tell us as they graduate that they're not going to read their email very well. So that's a little scary to me. One thing also that I noticed that was very interesting to me is that the website had very few hits, or very few guys who are telling me that they're going to the website, when in reality, that's the house for all of the information. Everything gets stored there. And so they're saying they're not going to the website, but I think it's, they're maybe not organically going to the website. But I'm directing them to the website all the time, and we have the web hits to show that they're going there. So it was kind of an interesting thing that maybe they weren't thinking through how they were getting it. So this is how they currently get it. Then I asked them what their preferred way to get it, and overwhelmingly it was email. So when I work with other extension agents, we have a lot of discussion about collect email addresses. Explain to producers that you're not going to bombard them with their with your information, but you're going to send out timely, important things that they need to know what's going on. And so overwhelmingly, email is the way farmers want to get their information from us. Okay, this is a map of the state of Kansas that shows the distribution of stripe rust. And this is a map that is generated by our wheat disease specialist at K-State, Eric DeWolf. He generates this map in response to observations by extension agents and other agronomy professionals. And so this is a map that I send out to growers all the time. And I send this map out because then they can understand how close it is to us. This is a disease that we know that moves with the wind, blows up every spring, and so, or some springs, not every spring. And so it's important for them to see that visual, very quick look at, oh, it's not close to us, we're okay for a while yet. So it's important to have those maps. We send it out email, Facebook, and on the website. I spend a lot of time and effort on getting things out on Facebook because you reach a different audience by putting things out on Facebook. And it's always interesting because I have several growers who tell me, my wife said, oh, you posted this on Facebook, so I need to come look at it. You know, and I may not have read my email, but I know if she's calling my attention to it, she knows we spend money on fungicide, it's important that she calls me over and we look at the map to see what's going on. So a really good way to share that information. One new thing I put together this last year was identifying the early stages of stripe rust. Most farmers can identify when we get to this stage of stripe rust, but by the time we get here, we might be on the late side to get anything done. So we needed to know what do we look for in the very early stages. What does stripe rust look like when it's just first starting to erupt from the leaf? And so these are pictures that I have taken and put this together on a postcard to mail out to farmers so that they had this, so they had this reference that they could take to the field with them. So this just shows kind of the progression of stripe rust development in kind of an easy-to-use form. There's some quick facts about stripe rust on the back of this postcard. Mostly we're talking about do not apply fungicide until flag leaf emergence, how long will it last, what other things do we have going on with it, and what is the yield loss, because that's the $100 question. How is this going to pay to do some treatment of this disease? And this year the resounding answer was yes. Yes, we had all of the right conditions coming together that stripe rust was going to be a problem for us. Here's just a quick shot of my website. As you can see over here on the left side, I have a lot, well, cursor's not showing up. I have a lot of information on here about wheat. Wheat in general and a lot of information on wheat for observations. So over on the wheat disease update, if I had clicked on that to take the screenshot, it would show that every time I send an email out to producers, we keep a log of it on the website. So you can go back for 2 or 3 years and look to see what kind of information, when stripe rust was showing up in the area and when we were getting information out. So it's kind of a good historic look to go back, or the current information is right there. Save the flag leaf. So save the flag leaf field days are something that we've put in since 2007. We use them on an as-need basis. This last year, I scheduled 3 across Sunflower District, which is 3 counties. We had 3 meetings in one day. I had 125 farmers who showed up because it was very quick. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we're finding and go on with life. And so it's interesting because we had farmers and agronomy professionals, and mostly they were wanting to say, what is going on, what are you seeing, and show us what we're looking for in stripe rust. And so the weather was not great to be out in the field. In fact, after the last meeting, it was snowing. We walked out of the last meeting and there's snow on the wheat, and so the joke was, so what does snow do to stripe rust? I was like, well, it's not good on it, but I don't think it's going to stop it. And so very interesting in that. So what I did is I just dug plants up of several different varieties, marked the leaves so that producers came up and do the hands-on experience of looking to see what stripe rust looks like. The word got around about these 3 meetings because we had requests from 2 other counties. The farmers went to the county extension agent and asked them to have a meeting in their county. So that's, to me, shows that we were were doing what they needed at that point in time. One question that I repeatedly get is, do generic fungicides work as good as name brand products? Because there's a significant price difference between these. And so I put a study out in Colby on the experiment station in Colby that had these products out. Many are name brand products. A pretty good chunk of these are in here, name brand products. This Vibe is generic tribuconazole, which is kind of the standard that most producers look at if they're looking at a generic product. And then you'll see on the very bottom of the chart, we have Vibe that's late. So that's a late application of tribuconazole. We talk about how important it is to be timely with their fungicide applications. So what happens if you wait till you're seeing stripe rust on the flag leaf? How much damage do you get? And so here's a quick chart to show kind of what's going on. The red line is the control. So you can see that stripe rust pretty quickly ramps up and causes a lot of problems. And we'll have flag leaves that are full of stripe rust. And then you'll see the other, there's four products on there. Several of them, the top three, Presaro, Twinline, and Quilt Excel, are name brand products, where the Vibe is the generic tribuconazole. We get a lot of pushback on recommending some of the generics, and so it was very interesting to see on here that turquoise line that the generic tribuconazole is doing just as good of a job as the others are. So what happens if you put generic tribuconazole on late? Well, if you wait and put it on late, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Now, looking back at the protocol, I wish I had spent some more time putting name brand products on late also, you know, and kind of had a regular time, and then a week later or 2 weeks late when the stripe rust was getting up onto the flag leaf and we were seeing some damage. This was on a very susceptible variety called Denali, which is from Colorado State. And so we basically set up to have the best situation to show how these products were working. And so very telling that when I had two field days with some agronomy professionals, no farmers that came to these field days, and I had one that spent a lot of time kind of chewing on me a little bit before we even got in the field because K-State's recommending generic fungicides. We're not recommending them over any other product. Mostly we're saying the most important decision is to spray or not to spray, and then spray in a timely manner, or are you trying to pick up on the backside? And so we're just saying a fungicide is a good product to have out there if we're seeing stripe rust. So they kind of chewed on me a little bit until they got out and looked at the plots. And so then they're understanding that, okay, now we understand. And that's when we looked at it and said, you know, if we had had these name brand products on later also, that we'd probably see a very similar type of curve to what we're seeing here. So that was a very interesting study. You know, you don't wish for a disease to show up in your crop. At the same time, it'd be really good to have a couple years of data on this. This was just one look at one field in this last year. So how beneficial are stripe rust topics to the operation? So I went out and surveyed producers and asked them questions. Okay, so how beneficial is it what we're doing, the different layers of information that we're sending out to farmers? Long-term, short-term, arrival of the disease, timing of application, identifying the disease, treatment options, and time to stop fungicide applications. And you may be wondering why we would have time to stop fungicide applications. Well, at some point, you're at the point of no return. If you put a fungicide on at that point, we're not going to do much for any type of helping. We're spending the money, but we're not going to get a lot of control on it. And so overwhelmingly, everybody felt that it was very beneficial. Timing of application seems to be the hot topic because nobody wants to be on the late side of getting fungicide on for this disease. So conclusions, really, I personally spend a lot of time building awareness with farmers. I want them to understand that we have an eye out in the field for them on this disease and that we're going to be the early warning system for them. I say I and we as in Kansas State University. This is not just a single year of building awareness. This has been going on. So we had severe stripe rust infections in 2007, in 2012, 2015, and 2016. So it's not an every year occurrence. At the same time, they need to know that we have their eyes out looking for them, and then we're going to let them know if we have a problem. We're just teaching them how to make sound decisions, evaluating what they're doing, and the statewide report that I referred to at the beginning where I was talking about 15.4% in 2015 and then 9.1%, they said a lot of what they're attributing to a loss in yield reductions was because K-State was putting out information and getting really timely topics out to their farmers on applying fungicide for stripe rust. So in the end, it's all communication. We spend a lot of time doing the research on the backside of things, but we really need to get what we're doing out into farmers' hands. And with that, I think we're done.
We do have time for a question. If you want to repeat the question, that way that's in the recording. That would be great. Questions from Sarcos or Jeannie?
I came in a little late. In your last, in the last slide, you mentioned about communication. And that's something I'm also kind of that I researched with kind of my first couple weeks of time. So, how do you do an effective job with telling the producers and being on what we've done traditionally in terms of having, you know, the due dates and the research dates? How do you actually effectively communicate this work out there to the public and to producers such that they know that, you know, it's not to recommend one brand above the other, but it's just that, you know, time is critical and, you know, how do you
Okay, so the question was really about how do we do an effective job communicating that information to growers, that it's not as much about products or the time, or it's not as much about products as it is about making the decision on applying. So I spend a lot of time at this. I start clear back in February on getting information sending out to growers. So we have some models that have been used with within K-State that talks about the likelihood that we're going to have a striped rust infestation. So I send out those information, that information to growers. Clear back. So I'm 100% extension appointment. And so I spend a lot of time getting things to growers. At the same time, you know, we have researchers that we call and ask them questions so that they can funnel information to us so we can take the next step. And so as an extension professional, it's my job to talk to the researchers and ask them for their information, you know, and if they can boil it down for me, that's great. Or if I need to boil it down a little more to get it out to producers, that's fine. So I spend a lot of time early in the season. So I was looking, the first striped rust information I sent out to growers was in February of 2016. That's way earlier than we're going to be making any decisions on spring for striped rust on this. And so it's all about communication. And I spend a lot of time also just communicating with other extension agents so that they're in the know. You know, sometimes I just was in a session talking about learning community, and we, you know, extension sometimes can be a bit of a rumor mill, but at the same time, it works really good if you're trying to get some very timely information out to growers. And so I really stress that it's about building that relationship and showing that you're an expert in your field so that growers know that if they're not hearing anything from you, they probably need to nudge you and say, what's going on with this? Come back and tell me. And so it's the job of the extension folks to disseminate that information and get it out to growers and other agronomy professionals.